The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
NFL training camp is rolling along. I got a couple stories for you. I'm going to start. Well, they're both under the file, under the don't do this at home kind of thing. But the first one is a little more lighthearted. Well, the second one is the Deshaun Watson story. There's nothing really lighthearted about Deshaun Watson, but there's a little bit lighthearted in this, and then also don't do this at home, but this is an amazing story. And I figured, Anthony, I had you here this morning, so I figured I'd bring a couple of stories in just to see if I could, you know, make you laugh or make you, you know, make you do a double take, which the I know the Rich Eisen audio made you laugh because that stuff is great.
Okay, so you sent me that through text because I was having a hard time finding it on Twitter and Instagram. I wasn't sure, like, how up-to-date his social media was, but I'm like, Ira, I have a hard time finding it. And so I watched this, like, eight-minute sort of thing on and off, and he just, like, preemptively talked about it. I'm going to do this. Here's a heads up of what I'm going
but he
to
didn't,
do.
Yeah, but he didn't actually.
And then finally found it, and you sent it to me, and I watched it three times. I'm like, his delivery was
it's gold.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's 90 seconds
I
of gold.
I love it.
Or 98 seconds, I think. But it's like 90 or so seconds of total gold. And so we are going to play that again this morning. If you didn't hear it in the first hour, we will play that for you again later on this morning here on the show. Probably, most likely, with the mayor of Michigan Twitter, because you know Scott Bell will have some comments on that one. But so, yeah, it's, you know, the NFL's on the brain, right? Because that cracked me up, and I wanted to play that for you. But here's a good one. Here's another NFL story for you. You probably don't remember Rich Ornberger. He's a former offensive lineman with the New England Patriots. He now has a radio show in New England on one of their, in Boston or somewhere. He has a show. That's not important where it is. Extra 1360 somewhere. Not important. But he was on the, doing his interview, doing the show, and he told a story last week. He was, he said his phone died in the middle of the night. His alarm did not go off. He realized he was going to be 10 minutes late. And if you're 10 minutes late for Bill Belichick, you are in big trouble. So there he was driving to work, knowing he's going to be 10 minutes late, freaking out. And he said he saw a church van. He said it was battered from taking a few dings in the past with smoke coming out of the exhaust. And he goes, quote, I'm just going to hit this car. So that's what he did. Now, and he says in his defense, he tapped it, didn't do a whole, he did enough damage to scratch up his car. So he could prove to Bill Belichick that he got into this accident, but he decided that he'd be better off taking the insurance hit and getting into a car accident. Not even an accident, right? It's more of a car on purpose because he hit it on purpose so that he could show up at the facility and Belichick look at him and why are you late? And he could say, look at my car. I got into an accident on my way in. So needless to say, we don't advise to do that ever intentionally to not have to explain. But Bill Belichick is a scary dude, so I get it. And so yeah, I saw that story. That was kind of that was a pretty funny story. Maybe not as funny as Rich Eisen giving Ohio people the business in Ohio during the gold jacket ceremony because it's our story, right? But I could understand Bill Belichick being super scary. Here's another one I saw. It was I got to find it now, but it was a Nick Saban tells this story of he and Bob Stoops' uncle. All right. This was when Nick Saban was the D coordinator at Michigan State. So this is in the 80s. He said they were at a bar called Talk of the Town in Youngstown during a recruiting trip. And it was Nick Saban talking football with Bob Stoops' uncle. And he said that they were so into the conversation that they had no idea what was going on in the bar. But apparently someone came in the bar with a shotgun, held the bar up. The police came in and said, what happened? And the bartender said, don't ask those two guys over there. They never saw it. That Saban and Stoops' uncle were so into their football argument / conversation, they did not see a guy walk into the bar with a shotgun and hold it up. And the cops went over to him and said, is that true? You didn't see it? They're like, yeah. And they pointed to what they were talking about. Now, if that cop remembers the story years later, maybe sees the article about it, is like, oh, that makes a lot of sense now that I realize that that's Nick Saban and a member of the Stoops family. And maybe the cop knew a member of the Stoops family because they were big time in, for that matter, so was the Saban family in Youngstown, Ohio. So maybe the cop actually even got it and he understood why they didn't. But there, that was another one, totally random story that comes across. Saban was on a podcast called The Next Round, which was, and this is from like last week or maybe even the week before. It's a hilarious story. How do you not notice that? I don't care how in deep you are, how deep you are into your conversation. I don't know how you missed that at all. All right. So there, I gave you a couple of fairly light stories. I don't know how a sticking up of a bar in the 80s is actually a light story, but it's a pretty light story. Made me laugh. Probably because the statute of limitations, right? Because it's from the 80s. I was like 10 years old when that story took place. So there's that. All right. So now we get a little serious. We're NFL training camp. So as we continue here in the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, the ticket online at WTK.com. So we know that Deshaun Watson, we're in the middle of the appeal part right now. The suspension came down for 6 games, no fine. And Deshaun Watson's camp said, and the NFLPA said, we should all just accept this and move on. Right? The NFL said, yeah, not so fast, my friends. We're not just accepting this. And then because of what the collective bargaining agreement says, yeah, Roger Goodell could appoint, and he has. He's appointed someone to be the arbitrator of this and make a final decision. So now we know that the NFL wanted a full year, if not more, suspension and a multi-million dollar fine. The suspension was 6 games, and there was no fine. So we know that the numbers are going to move more towards what the NFL wanted. Question I have, and other people are asking, is how far? Because, excuse me, Deshaun Watson got some pretty bad advice. According to ESPN and Sports Illustrated, excuse me, the NFL offered a 12-game suspension and an $8 to $10 million fine, and Deshaun Watson said no. That was a settlement offer, and Deshaun Watson said no. He said, because he thought he'd have fewer games, and he didn't want to pay a fine. Granted, he's getting a how many hundred million whatever dollar signing bonus, and he didn't want to pay a fine. He didn't want to give him that money back, even though that's why they signed him to that kind of, part of the reason they signed him to that huge money. So he said no. He said he'd get no more than 6 to 8 games, and he didn't want to get fined. So he said, no, we're not taking that settlement. We'll see what the arbitrator says. Well, the arbitrator came back with 6 games and no fine. But what if the NFL comes back and says it's a full year? And, oh, by the way, it's an $8 million fine. That actually is a $9 million fine because he'd lose his $1 million salary for the year. Now, he has his hundred and whatever million dollar signing bonus coming anyway, you know, or whatever the dollar figures are. It's insane how much money he's getting. So it really doesn't matter. In the grand scheme of things, I don't know why he fought this in the first place, other than that fact that he didn't want to miss out. So people are talking about that the NFL is going to extend the suspension. A lot of people are talking about it going to 12 games and that being a very specific number. Now, I just want it to be more than eight because the seventh game is against the Ravens. So if he's going to be suspended, he might as well be suspended through that as well. I got a buddy who's a Bengals fan. That's their eighth game that's the eighth game. So he doesn't want him back in time for that one either, right? Because you might as well not have him back yet. What the league really doesn't want, week 12 or game 12, no, sorry, week 12, but it's our 11th game, so he would be missing this as his last game is against the Houston Texans. And it sounds like the league wants to suspend him at least through that game, if not longer. So we'll see how long this goes. But just file this under the category of getting bad advice. And I have a feeling that Deshaun Watson has been getting a lot of bad advice for a really long time over a lot of different topics. But this is bad advice because his agent should have gone to him and said, you're going to get more than you want in games. You're going to have to pay a fine. That's why you're getting all this money. You probably should settle this because if this doesn't get settled, this is how the procedure goes. And when the procedure goes this way, if appeals are filed, this is how the appeals go. And you know you're going to lose. Like, that's good advice. That would be the advice if Joe Simon was your legal counsel. That would be the advice that Joe would give you because Joe would have the full picture. And it doesn't feel like that Deshaun Watson's lawyers had the full picture. Because if you had the full picture, you know how the collective bargaining agreement goes, which is go to an independent arbitrator that got appointed. They did. They give the ruling. And then both sides have a chance for an appeal. And the appeal process goes right through Roger Goodell. If you knew that, if you were given that information ahead of time, then I don't think you would have filed any kind of appeal because you're going to lose. This is really bad advice. He's going to end up with a multi-million dollar fine. He's going to end up with double digits worth of games of suspension. Maybe it's a whole year. I don't know. But the judge that got put in charge of this as the arbitrator on this to kind of be the final decision maker on this appeal is a guy that has a fairly strong history when it comes to, based on what I read about harassment and assault. He doesn't take it lightly. So, yeah, I don't expect this to go very kindly for Deshaun Watson. When I was reading this report, according to ESPN and Sports Illustrated, about the settlement offer that the NFL presented to Deshaun Watson and he turned down, this is going to be filed under the category of really, really bad advice from a lawyer. Or maybe they told him what he should do and he just said no anyway, in which case this is when the lawyer turns around and says, I have a dumb client. I have a bad client. They're not listening to advice. And so we'll see how this one plays out. But yeah, I read that one over the weekend, and that one, it surprised me a lot, needless to say. It surprised me a lot that they gave him that appeal opportunity, or that the opportunity for a settlement, and that he didn't even hesitate, basically, to say no, because he expected it to be what they got and nothing more. He obviously does not know how the process worked, and people involved did not know how the process worked, or this would have been over with that settlement, is my sinking suspicion. But he didn't, so here we are, and so be it for him. He deserves whatever he gets. So we'll see how the NFL actually handles this, and I assume we're going to hear about that one fairly soon as well, because you need that decision pretty soon when you're going through the preseason, right? The Browns need to know, do they have it all this season? Is he going to be gone all season? Is he back only for the final weeks of the season? Is he going to stay as is? Whatever it might be, they need to make a decision pretty soon to give the Browns the information that they need. So there you go. A little bit around the NFL. I don't know if you saw this on Saturday, but about 18,000 Lions fans showed up at Ford Field. It was an open practice at Ford Field. 18,000 or so, that was the estimated number of Lions fans showed up at Ford Field on Saturday. There's an excitement level around the franchise right now. That's what Sam and I've talked about. Granted, what does that turn into? What does that mean? That remains to be seen. But there is a lot of excitement. And rightfully so, we think rightfully so. And you see it from outside externally. And that's the thing that I bring up a lot, the external excitement that people have. People like Peter King talking about reasons to be optimistic. Amy Lawrence on the Overnight Show before us when we come on the air, giving reasons to be optimistic about your Lions and others. Those are the ones that you like to read the most. Yeah, it's one thing to come on here and you hear Sam get all excited, or if you see Dan Orlovsky on TV get all excited, right? You know that those guys have biases. It's the ones that have less biases. How do they react? What are they thinking about the Lions draft and the Lions other moves and how their things are going? And people are a lot more optimistic about them than, say, as we see Keyshawn, they're talking about the Jets on TV. A lot more optimism about the Lions than the Jets. Just use that as an example, since they happen to have the Jets logo on our screens here in the in our studio.
I've been seeing also a lot of talk about the Commanders training camp on ESPN, SportsCenter, social media, stuff like that. I've been seeing a lot of stuff like that. Obviously, as you said, with the Jets here on our screen. Yeah, I would say there's more buzz here in Detroit than a lot of other teams in the league, but those are just some teams that,
I was trying to remember what about the Commanders, what I just saw, which just popped up. And it was a ranking of of all the NFL stadiums. And I was kind of curious about the ranking because I was kind of curious, and this was done by For the Win by USA Today. But I was kind of curious about it because I wanted to see I want to see what was last. Because you're always kind of curious. All these fields, all these stadiums cost so much money. I was kind of curious what was last. And then I was curious, obviously for my own team. And then I was, who's first. And I was kind of interested what people thought. So just for the record, they have Lambeau is number one because it's old school field. It's going to be hard to displace Lambeau just because it's so different than everybody else. But FedEx Field, home of the Washington Commanders, 30th last in football stadium rankings in the National Football League. For that matter, Soldier Field is 29, which is pretty funny. You ever go to Soldier Field? You ever been there?
I have one time. I didn't think it was all that great.
Yeah, I haven't been in it. I've been outside it, And I've seen obviously pictures of it and game, you know, seeing from games inside and whatnot. The renovation for that place, awful. Now they've done some mock-ups to put like a dome over it now, and the cover looks really cool. But oh my goodness, the renovation of Soldier Field looks like they built a flying saucer and dropped it right inside the old stadium, and yeah. It's just really weird looking. It's probably part of the reason why it's on that part of the list.
Like if you do some history of it, and like you can see like the renovations, like this part was here from this time to this time, and you can see like.
The old parts are cool. Yeah, it's the renovations like that look terrible.
Exactly.
The new part looked absolutely awful. But when you mentioned Commanders, I was like, why did that just pop up in my head? I didn't see anything newsy. I know I have friends that cover the team that are down there, but it was because they were ranked as the worst stadium in the NFL. And guess what? Based on my experience having been to Baltimore, Washington, Detroit, Green Bay, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, I'm missing a few, but I've been to NFL games in these different cities, and it's not Tampa. It's not even close. Washington Stadium is the worst. It's awful. It's absolutely terrible. But I also brought up because Ford Field ranked 10th, which isn't bad, right there. That's in the top third good. Of the league.
That's pretty good.
It's not bad, and I like Ford Field a lot. They did a great job building it. They didn't make it too big so that it would be cavernous. The sound does a really good job of being kept in. Now I'm generally there rooting for the other team because I'm there with my wife usually for a Packers game.
Sure.
But they did a nice job, and I give Lions fans, and this is one of those things, you see the surveys, most loyal fans, this and the, what, I give Lions fans a lot of credit because it's easy to be loyal if you're a Steelers fan or a Packers fan, right, or a Patriots fan, you know, in the last 20 years, right, in this century, Ravens, you can go down the list, there are certain organizations where it's really easy to be a fan, and then there are certain organizations where it's really tough to be a fan, and in this century, you mentioned the Commanders, right? Like there are certain teams, the Lions are top of that list. We're talking about the Jets here. Like they've, right? There are certain teams that are really tough to be a fan of because of how bad management has been. Now, of all the teams that I could bring up for those, the Lions may have the most optimism right now. Now, granted, Jacksonville was just in like the AFC Championship game not that long ago, right? And then they've just gone right into the tank.
Yeah, but, like, another couple of things that I was just thinking about. So you mentioned a couple of stadiums. I just saw on, what was it? They ranked the Cardinals stadium number one because of what you were mentioning about concerts and the sound and the lighting and everything, the atmosphere. Having an outdoor stadium that has a retractable top, but also the field is pure grass, 100% solid grass. The other thing that I just thought of, as you mentioned, was Jacksonville and the Jaguars. They had terrible seasons leading up to their weird, successful 2017-2016 season, and they went 10-6, went to the AFC Championship game or whatever, but they made the playoffs, had this weird year, and then the year after, they were in the tank again.
Yeah, they're terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're, by the way, they're 28th out of the list, right? I mentioned that the Bears were second to worst stadium on the list. The Jaguars are next.
Yeah.
So it's just it was a funny thing. So you mentioned Commanders. I saw that list, and I read the list. I was reading it through because I was curious, always curious, like, where's my team? Where's the Lions? You know, where are the Lions? Where's my wife's team? What are that kind of thing? And I kind of assumed that Lambeau would be very high on the list. I didn't know if it would beat out, say, SoFi Stadium in L.A., which is now one of these new beautiful places, or the place in Vegas, which is supposed to be unbelievable. But they're new and they're shiny and they're fancy, but they're not. They don't have the tradition that Lambeau has, which is why Lambeau may never leave the number one spot on that list. But I was impressed. I thought the Lions being around 10 is about fair. It's not as new as some of the newer places. Minnesota's got a newer place. Atlanta's got a newer place. But Ford Field's holding. It's holding up and it's holding its own, and it's a nice place, nice venue. I'm gonna step aside, take a break. Obviously, still a lot more to get to here on the show. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we're gonna talk to Connor Eargood. He's the Michigan hockey beat reporter for the Michigan Daily. In the 9 o'clock hour, we're gonna talk to Scott Bell, the mayor of Michigan Twitter. So we're gonna talk a lot about Michigan hockey again this morning. We'll get back to that in the 8 o'clock hour. But we have a little more left in this 7 o'clock hour on the other side of the break here on Sports Talk 1050 WTK. The Ticket.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.